Welcome back to Preps KC's Football Friday Night, driven by the McCarthy Auto Group. I'm your host, Dion Clisso, joined as always by the coach, Harold Walmsgans. And a program like this wouldn't be possible without a great sponsor like Papa John's. Hey, anytime there's football on, it's time for pizza. So go online, use the promo code PrepsKC to save 40% off your total order. Also, when you do that, 10% of your purchase will go towards an equipment grant that will be used in a contest later this year. So you could eat pizza, save money, and possibly help win money for your school. So always use the PrepsKC promo code and receive 40% off. It's a great deal, and we thank Papa John's for all they do, and they're also the sponsor of the Papa John's Players of the Week. All right, let's get back into the football and bring in our own Ryan Wallace. And Ryan, before we get into the games, Kansas seems to be able to count students and turn around and release those numbers within a span of a week or two. Missouri obviously still struggles at that. I'm not really sure why they can't do it, but they have the new classifications came out on Tuesday, and not a ton of movement, but some interesting some at best. And let's talk about 6A first. Harmon is going back up where they were a couple years ago. I'm sorry, Harmon, that doesn't help them. But what that will do is shift another school. There's now 18 schools in the metro. Shift another school over to the west side, which means Lawrence and Free State could both be over there. That's kind of that's the first one that jumps off.
Yeah, I mean, I think there really weren't that many huge ones. I thought when the numbers came out. I mean, you mentioned the one there. Obviously, there's the biggest shift in my eyes was Wichita Northwest, which, you know, has always kind of been a staple at the 6A level. Not necessarily maybe that they're a state championship type team, but I think they're in the Wichita area and really on the western side of the bracket. They're always one of those teams that, you know, a lot of schools fear. I mean, even you look at next year, they'll have probably the top player in the entire state in Marcus Hicks playing on their side, and they dropped down from 6A to 5A. So really, that was probably the biggest asterisk, I guess, in my mind. That and, of course, the fact that Bishop Miege is solidly set in 4A.
Yeah, that's one to look at there. And then they also, it's kind of like a preview of coming attractions. Mill Valley is the biggest 5A school with 1,048, and the 11 more students would have put them in the 6A. And then Olathe West opens with 927. So they're 130, 140 out their first year. And, I mean, 2 years in, I would assume that Olathe West would be going up along with Mill Valley.
I think when you think about those two schools and Blue Valley Southwest, I think we're – well, at least for the two that you mentioned, Olathe West and Mill Valley, they're probably maybe a 2 years away, maybe 3 years away. So let's just, to be safe, I think even if you throw Blue Valley Southwest in there, I think those are three schools that here within the next decade are all going to be 6A schools, possibly maybe a five because the Blue Valleys might even themselves out. But, you know, I really think with Mill Valley, just the way that area is growing, and I think with Olathe West, the way that area is growing, those are two schools that are bound for 6A sooner rather than later.
This goes back and kind of tests my memory, but at one time, I can't remember if it was in the state of Missouri in the count or in the suburban conference, that you could appeal your official account that went in on September 1st, and then between the 1st and the 15th, you could appeal your numbers and have more or less on the 15th than on the 1st. That's why Kansas can come up with theirs and just go with the numbers.
Well,
there is no appeal process.
Yeah, you're right. Missouri definitely, it's more of a, like you say, a negotiation than an actual thing. You're like, oh, well, that's my numbers. You know, because sometimes numbers tend to come in lower on the Missouri side than they would thought. And I know that some schools, when you look at the growth, and Ryan, you'll find this interesting, at least Summit West, you know, they started in class four, and then they took it. It seemed like they would be bigger and be into five, and then they finally got into five, and it seemed like they would be going up almost every single time into six, and they seemed to just, you know, their head would hit that ceiling and never get there. But then suddenly, once they got to six, within 2 years, they were bigger than Blue Springs South. That was weird how that happened, but they just grew so much in those 2 years. But Kansas, you know, Coach, you're right. Kansas just takes the count and goes on with the day. One other thing, Ryan, I was going to ask you about. You know, you talk about Mill Valley. DeSoto made the jump as well. They're from 4A to 5A, and it's going to be interesting. They're in that new league with Lansing and Shawnee Heights and Turner, and so they're all Class 5 schools. Baser Linwood is still in 4A, but they're growing too. They're only about 50 students away from going up to 5A. So you see those strategic moves. Bonner Springs goes down. They're going over to the Frontier League. So you had to know these superintendents, when they started making these moves, kind of knew that the Frontier League was going to be more of a 4A league and this new United League would be more of a 5A league. So it kind of makes a little more sense now that you see these numbers come out.
Well, and I think, too, and maybe it makes more sense to me, too, just being that my wife and I are still, you know, a young couple, kind of looking in the housing market at our age. And that's the direction that it seems like a lot of the younger adults are migrating to. There for a while, it seemed like everybody was going to come south, you know, that Metcalf was kind of the highway to the future, the further south that you went, heading down towards Blue Valley Southwest. And instead, you know, I think people are still moving south to a certain extent, but it's just been at a little bit slower rate as opposed to where Olathe West is located. And obviously Shawnee out where Mill Valley is very, very popular place right now to buy an affordable house in Shawnee with a kind of an up-and-coming community. So I feel like that's a big reason why you're going to see those schools elevate themselves so much quicker than somebody like I said, like a Blue Valley Southwest.
Yeah, that's definitely it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out on the Missouri side. They've got a similar issue with the St. Louis schools getting smaller and more Kansas City schools that are going to be bumped up into the big class. And the metro of Kansas City is growing, and other metros around them are not. So it's definitely going to be interesting. Let's go ahead and talk about some actual games. And last week you saw Mill Valley and Blue Valley, and really a dominant performance by Blue Valley. They backed up that win over Blue Valley North. Now they're going to St. James, is where you're going to be this week, and St. James is 4-0. This is really this one, just when I'm going through the schedule, this one jumped off the page. Very easily make it a REMAX Big 3 game.
To me, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around which Blue Valley team I'm going to see.
You've seen a lot.
Week one, they're at Niege, and honestly, I mean, I turned to my dad. I graduated from Blue Valley in 2005. And I turned to my dad, who happened to be at the game with me, and I said, "Dad, this is probably, just on paper, in all honesty, probably one of the least talented teams that Blue Valley has had since I was about a senior in high school." And then they come back, and over the course of the next 3 weeks have done some amazing things, just the way that they've revamped the locker room and kind of kept themselves united. And I think they're starting to grow confidence through experience, because this was such a kind of a youthful team of underclassmen that just hadn't played a lot of varsity level football, and you're starting to see them grow and grow and grow to the point where the last 3 weeks, this is an offense that is averaging 46 points per game, and a defense last week that gave up zero offensive scores to an offense the likes of Mill Valley with Brody Fleming that throws it all over the place. I mean, the only touchdown they surrendered was on the opening possession for Mill Valley. They ran it back for a kickoff touchdown. So I'm still anxious to see what Blue Valley team I'm going to see. And then on the St. James side, they're an interesting story too, Dion, and a long-winded answer here, but I feel like St. James, it's kind of both of these schools are at a crossroads right now. I think Blue Valley looks like their stock is rising. And to me, when you look on paper at St. James, again, I haven't seen them play yet, but they seem like they're trending down. They start off the year, 24-point win at Mill Valley, 12-point win against Blue Valley Southwest, 11-point win over Gardner-Edgerton, and then last week squeaking out a 3-point win over Blue Valley Northwest. They're aggressive. You know, I know Coach Radke really likes the fact that they're ball hawks. You know, they do have some better speed, you know, with Will Heller and Jack Petz. They have kind of an offense that has some tools, but I still question whether they have enough playmakers to beat Blue Valley, because I feel like, you know, you can't just be basic with Blue Valley. You know, we saw with Miege, you have to kind of get both a ground and a passing attack going in order to just put up points on Blue Valley, and right now on paper, I question whether St. James has that.
You know, I think you brought up an interesting point about St. James, but in defense of that, I think as a high school football coach, that's one of the most difficult things you face over a 9-game season or a 10-game season. It's very, very difficult to get 17 and 18-year-old student athletes to be at their peak each and every week, and even more presently, and where we are now with social media and all those things, kids, they're very intelligent as to who their opponents are. I think we'll see a St. James team against this week probably play a lot better.
I couldn't agree more, Coach, as far as the consistency thing goes. I think that's where you really separate the top-tier programs from everyone else, is not just the fact that they might have more talent or more experience, but above all else, I just think it's a consistency thing, that that those schools can play more balanced football week in and week out, not get too high, not get too low, as opposed to other schools. With these two schools, with Friday night's game, I think you look at St. James, I think they're going to be motivated. On one hand, they're undefeated. They have all the confidence and motivation they need right there to stay unblemished in the loss category. But also, this was the same team that got skunked 45-0 by Blue Valley almost a year ago to this day. And then you look at Blue Valley, well, what do they have to work for? Or what do they have to play for? A lot of things. Obviously, the emotional kind of side of things is still there and still very strong in that locker room. But also, the last time they will have played on this field, which is at Miege, because, again, St. James kind of goes back and forth between Aquinas and Miege, they don't have very good memories of the last time they played on this field. So even though the opponent might be different, I don't think that there's going to be a lack of motivation on their end either.
Yeah, that is one thing. I was like, that wasn't the best stadium. It was an emotional day all around, and then kind of a nightmare when they walked in and played that game. I think that thought had crossed my mind as well, and I was writing the Big Three, and I almost put that in there, but I was like, I'll just stay away from that right now since it's at Miege. But no, I think it's going to be – it's a real crossroads for both teams, and I think that, if they both compete and play well, no matter win or lose, I think they're going to be better for it at the end of the season, don't you?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think St. James is a much better team this year than they were last year, and probably even a year ago or a year before that. But I think St. James is one of these schools that, if Coach Radke can instill that this is a better team and that they're better prepared for the 5A ranks than they were a season ago. I mean, this was a school last year that really had some struggles, battled a lot of injuries. Sammy Wheeler was kind of hot and cold throughout the season. Travis Pickert tried to do as much as he could, but like I said, they really weren't that healthy and still managed to crank out two wins in 5A playoffs, beat a good Schlegel team, beat a solid Shawnee Heights team, and then played a very competitive game with Aquinas. And now you're looking at a team that's more experienced than last year's and is playing with a lot more confidence and a lot more balance. So I would hate for them if they were to lose the game against Blue Valley to get two down, because I do feel like, they're on the rise. And then with Blue Valley, win or lose, the good news for Coach Terrell's team is, if you win, you continue, you're on a hot streak outside of week one, where you can just continue this riding this thing in. And then if you lose, the good news is, and it's good news if you win as well, they're kind of on the downward slope of their schedule. Aside from a regular season conclusion with St. Thomas Aquinas that could decide, possibly who's sitting in second place in the EKL when it's all said and done, you're looking at, Blue Valley Northwest and Blue Valley Southwest after this. So they're kind of in a good spot, win or lose.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how it plays out after this week, but I think it's going to be a great game. Well, hey, good luck. Have fun out there, and looking forward to seeing your videos and your story on PrepsKC.com and on the app, and keep up the good work.
All right, Coach Dion, we'll talk to you later.
All right, that's our own Ryan Wallace. He does a great work for us every single week on the Kansas side. When we come back, we will jump across to the Missouri side of things. You're listening to Preps KC's Football Friday Night, driven by the McCarthy Auto Group.